This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm an admitted gearhead. I'm a muscle car guy. I love sports cars. Not a big fan of electric cars, but they're kind of growing on me, so I don't know what to do about it. Actually, you know what it boils down to is if they really make great styles and they finish putting in an infrastructure like gas stations on every corner, electric charging stations on every corner, then maybe at some point I'll be, all right, I have succumbed to the pressure. I'll take it. But for now, I'm just not a big electric car fan. And you guys hear me say that every now and then. So get over it. Just you have your own opinion. I get to have mine. That's America, right? Ay, ay, ay. PJ Colleen joining me. I thought I should start the show like that because I've been hating on all electric stuff for the last several months. It's like people think I'm an electric car hater, which I'm really not, but I am, but I'm not. I just don't like it when they shove it down my throat. So I start out the show saying that, and, you know, we go on from there. How you been?
Wait, I'm fine, but you got to set expectations. You're right. Yeah. So, I agree with you. I'm not, like, the world's biggest EV. I mean, I understand there's a place for them and there's a reason for them, but I think sometimes the problems with the challenges with it outweigh the benefits of it.
You know I like electric, like hair dryers and blenders, and I like all kinds of, like, I don't even like electric stoves, if you want to know the truth. I like to cook with gas. Does that make me old school?
No, because a lot of people do, because you can regulate it a little bit better. So the power goes out, you still have gas. You
don't,
know,
don't get me wrong.
When the power goes out, you don't have electric anything. So right. It's a, you're not in the you're in the majority, not the minority. But, you know, little things like, I don't know if you saw that picture that was going around about Thanksgiving time when all the Teslas were lined up to try to get a charge because the chargers were being used, you know. So there's another one of those challenges that how do you deal with that, especially because Tesla has their own chargers. They don't share the same charger system with other, you know, electric vehicles. So there could be some chargers there sitting there because the Teslas won't fit them. So it's like, you know, you got to start thinking about things like this. You know, I mean, what this adds an extra 2 or 3 hours to your drive. Nobody wants to do that after Thanksgiving. So,
right.
You know, you got valid points. You just do. So
well,
people have to think about
my
it.
My producer said I should clarify that I cook with gasoline, not. So that's another story. Another day.
Yes, sir.
My kids love bonfires, and I don't know what it is. There's something very primordial about fire and internal combustion. And did I say primordial? I meant primal. Anyway, I just do. I love the sound of the burble of a big V8 engine with big old fat 3-inch exhaust. And, you know, it's like I'm just an old school guy. And I think that if people know who the host is and where he comes from when he starts, you know, ravaging the electric car world, it makes more sense that, okay, yeah, he's just old school. Leave him alone. You know, and because I think that some of these vehicles are beautiful. I mean, absolutely beautiful. I was at the LA Auto Show. You missed it. Gosh, I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen here. The auto shows are starting to disappear and get smaller, and less automakers are being involved. There was a big announcement that, who was it? Mercedes-Benz.
Mercedes.
Yeah, not going to be at the New York Auto Show. That's their stomping grounds, in essence.
Yeah.
You know, but I was there and I started looking at some of these electric car designs. Now, you know, I thought I could drive that. But the problem is, as soon as I get in it and I say, how do you start this thing? Oh, they go, oh no, it's see, the lights are on. It's ready to go. And I give it gas and it goes, and I'm like, I can't handle that. I got to have the sound. The sound is, you know, it's like, I don't know, just the sound,
well,
the sizzle of the steak.
To put it in the vernacular of today's kids, okay, boomer is what I'm going to say to you because it's kind of an insult. It's like, okay, grandpa, if that's what you want. Okay, boomer, like baby boomer.
Right.
So, you know.
But I am a grandpa.
Yeah.
And I am a baby boomer.
Trust me, your grandkids are not going to care about that V8 sound unless you ingrain it in them starting right now. But it doesn't matter because those cars won't be around in the future. They'll probably be regulated out.
So. Oh, no. They'll be around. They'll be around and around and around as I do donuts in mine right in front of the White House if I have to. All right. We'll take a little break and come back and talk about one of our sponsors, one of their cars, a Kia Soul X-Line, of which BJ's driving. We'll take a break. It is The Drive, the old baby boomer, internal combustion engine loving, what did you call me? Grandpa that I am. And I love it. We'll be right back. Step in my
There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. You're listening to The Drive, and our show is brought to you in part by the Rough and Ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. You know, BJ, I dropped my wife off at the airport. She's actually in Las Vegas right now, so not too far from you, checking on a building that her mom used to own, or, well, still does. Her mom passed away, and now she's dealing with it, and what a mess. Oh, what a mess! People, get your stuff. Baby boomers, get your stuff in order before you die and leave your kids a big mess. But anyway, it's a wonderful mess. Anyway, my wife wants a Kia Telluride. And so the dealer calls right after I dropped my wife off at the airport and said, guess what? We've got a Kia, a white Telluride with everything on. Oh, my gosh. You're not going to believe my wife is calling me right now. Check it out. Hold still. See, that's my wife. Her ears are burning. Yeah, that's her. Hold on. Let me just tell her. Hey, I'm talking about you on the radio. I'll have to call you back. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. She says, oh God. Okay. So I'm leaving that. That's just too funny. Right. So right after, so I call her up, she's in the airport and I go, they just called from the dealer. They've got a white Kia Telluride with everything on it. Just exactly the way you want it. She says, does it have that gray interior? And I go, no, it's got a black interior. She goes, I want what I want. Now, here's why I'm telling this story. I found her one with a tan interior, the white. She wants white with gray interior, which is beautiful. I have to admit they dropped off this one. I've been talking about this for like a month now. She is at the point in her life, and I think this is where we get. And I think you're there too. We get to this point, baby boomers that are listening and people out there that are of age. You get to a point where you just want what you want. Nothing but what you want. It's like, no black interior. I want that beautiful. So anyway, I was so disappointed.
I just went through that too, Alan.
Yeah.
Seriously, I ordered my Lincoln Corsair. Oh. Everything they had was white with the black interior. I didn't want it. So I ordered what I wanted.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yep. And that's where we're at. So I think that, you know, after you've settled and settled and settled and always thought, it's okay, it'll work for now, I can make do with this, you get to this point where you're like, no, I ain't going to make do with nothing. So we get what we want, and that's what we're on this quest to find a white Kia Telluride Model S with everything on it, white with gray interior. Dealers, if you're listening, call me 800. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway. So the Kia Soul X line, what's the story with that?
Well, you know, the Kia Soul's been around for quite some time, and the Kia Soul kind of has the same, I don't know if I call it a problem, but challenge as the Miata. You know, the car came out, it's adorable. How do you change it and update it without destroying it? And that's a big point. And I think Kia did actually a pretty good job. You know, they kind of kept the flavor, which is a little boxy, you know, econo vehicle, a little S, kind of nice, not even an SUV, it's like a CUV, who knows what it is. It's kind of like in between everything, you know. So they kept it pretty much the same. You know, they changed a couple of things like the headlight configuration, and they changed the front grille a little bit, and they made the front fenders a little beefier. So they just did little things that you can tell that it's a newer version of itself, but the whole point was to stay true to the design heritage. And I think they did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
There are so many different Kia Soul models. It's incredible. They got an LX, an S, an X line, an EX design collection, a GT line, a Soul EV. I mean, there's pretty much any flavor that you want you can get inside this Soul. And it's been a very popular vehicle. This is the one that obviously people remember taking off with the hamsters. And they haven't used the Kia hamsters in a while, but it's the one thing that sticks with everybody. So this Soul X line, actually, it's pretty cool. It came in the snow white pearl with the interior was black. Again, not my favorite color combination, but that pearl white exterior really is kind of cool. Yeah. So the vehicle's pretty decent. You know, it's always been a good little car for a run around, and it's still affordable. This one, the X-Line, started at $21,490 and walked out the door at $22,900. So it's in that affordable range. As a matter of fact, it's below the average for a vehicle nowadays, which is about $35,000. It comes with a 2-liter four-cylinder engine. And it's CVT. It's got the continuously variable transmission, so it's got good power when you need it. 201 horsepower, 195 pound-feet of torque, and it's a fairly light vehicle. So that means it really scoots down the road, which is nice. And again, the problem is because it is a four-cylinder, it does make a little bit of noise under acceleration. You know, they haven't, you know, you have a car that's inexpensive, you can't put as much sound deadening into it because it adds a lot of weight, and then you've got fuel economy.
Yeah, but that doesn't bother me. I mean, you know, it's like I said in the first segment, I like to hear the sound of an engine. If you don't like it, then people buy an electric car, which they do make this an electric. All right, hang tight. Let me take a little break here.
Okay.
Kia is doing a fantastic job of building some amazing cars, and with that 100,000-mile, 10-year limited warranty that they have, you know, you don't really have to worry about a doggone thing for 10 years or 100,000 miles. We'll take a little break. This is The Drive, and thanks to Kia for sponsoring our show. I am in search of a white Telluride, the gray interior, all options. Dealers, call 1-800-235.
This holiday season, Dodge's gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone gets the same price our employees get on the Dodge Durango. And with Durango's available 475 horsepower, Dodge is here to make every trip a memorable one. So hurry in to the Dodge Big Finish event today to take advantage of Employee Pricing Plus. Offers available in the purchase or lease of a 2020 Dodge Durango or a new 2019 Dodge vehicle excluding Charger and Challenger. Customer responsible for $200 administration fee. Must agree to delivery by 1-2-20. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of racing champions and the choice of most of the automakers these days because they make fantastic brakes. BJ Colleen joining us, automotive expert, automotive journalist, and a person that knows more about cars than the average car guy or gal. That's because you've been in this business a long, long time. And I don't know too many people that have been able to make it this many years without getting, getting tired of what we do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it can wear you out. You can become bitter. And I think it's important that as journalists, like I get a little bitter every now and then, you can hear it coming out on the radio show, but you're always very even keeled. That's why it's important for me to have you on this show.
Well, I try to be. I'm your voice of reason. I'm the good angel sitting on your shoulder.
Voice of reason. I'm in the right. And my voice of reason, BJ Colleen. There we go. Got it.
You're too funny. So we were talking about the Kia Soul X line, and there's a lot of good things on the interior. I mean, they've got Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. They've got air conditioning, power windows, door locks, remote keyless entry, Bluetooth, steering wheel mounted audio controls. You know, the list just goes on and on. They have a lot of really great features. One of the fun features that Kia has always done, and nobody else has really picked up with it, is they have sound mood lighting. So you get this soft light from the center door panels and a unique 3D pattern that synchronizes to the beat of the music playing through the Soul's audio system. And that's always kind of fun, you know, you got this going on. So again, it makes them stand out a little bit because this vehicle really is intended for a younger audience. And I think that they've done a very good job being successful with marketing it to those guys.
But wait a minute. Let's talk about that because to me, there was a car company that once existed, and if you're old enough to remember Scion from Toyota, they made a little, I think it was the XB, that was a little box.
Yep, that's it.
That they decided and told the world, we're making this for the young people. And guess who bought it? Was the average age was 44 or 43 and up, right?
People on a budget, yeah.
You know,
retirees,
And it's funny because even, remember, and by the way, I spoke to Dick Messer after the show, but even Dick Messer, who was like 65 or 70, bought one and loved his little Scion, but the company went out of business. And you know what's funny is here we have a little box in the Kia Soul, in essence, a little utility vehicle that is fun to drive, that has spirit and soul, hence the name, the Soul, which is great. And then you add all these different variants of it, like the X line, which we should talk about what that means. But I think that Kia was brilliant in the fact that they looked around and went, what is not being made today? If you, another one that could be said is the Honda Element, which the ridiculous price of these things with 180,000 miles. I see them for sale for like $9,000. Like 100, wait a minute. How many miles? And it's because, first of all, they last, they were well-built, they were well-designed, and people like them and want them. That's why this vehicle is doing so well. It is that right-sized thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was the right vehicle at the right time, too. Because you got to remember, way back when, Nissan Access and Mitsubishi Expo, they came out with a vehicle that was kind of like this one. It had sliding doors. It was small. Time wasn't right for it. So most of the cars, it's all about timing. You know, Kia's had their missteps, too. They brought out that big, full-size Borrego SUV right when fuel prices were going through the roof and the car died, you know. So, you know, everybody has some good pluses and they have some negatives, and this Soul was the right vehicle at the right time with the right marketing and at the right price. So they really hit it out of the park everywhere that you looked with this little car. So they really did a good job.
And I want to make sure you do with the only, because that's always important, but what does the X line do for the vehicle?
It's basically a little bit of exterior trim differences. You know, it's not like it's got a bigger engine or anything like that. You know, it's just gives it a little bit more personality overall what it is. So, and, you know, some other features that they added to. There's exterior body cladding and front fog lights. You know, it's just a trim line that, you know, something special. Yeah. But I was going to say that the only thing that Kia really needs to work on with the Soul, and maybe some Kias in general, is at the lower priced end, they have to step up when it comes to safety. And not that they don't offer a bunch of things, but they don't have a lot of things standard. The Honda Sensing System or the Toyota Safety Sense System offers across the board. You know, so for this vehicle, you're going to get blind spot collision warning, which is good. Your cross traffic alert, lane change assist. But again, the pedestrian detection or the pre-collision warning or lane changing or lane keeping systems, those are all standard on Honda and Toyota, and they're not on Kia yet. So probably, and this is a 2020 Kia Soul X-Line, so maybe 2021 they'll understand that, hey, you know, we're going to lose some market share if we don't step up with all the standard safety features that Honda and Toyota do. And granted, Honda and Toyota are bigger companies with bigger budgets, but safety is going to be paramount to everybody, even more so than it is now. So that's going to be kind of important to them.
Well,
so,
you know, and, it's funny, though, because there are people that don't like all that, what they call nannies, right? And they turn them off anyway. So I think, you know, there's a possibility that they're starting at this point where if you want it, you can get this one. If you don't want it, we've got the one over here that doesn't have any, well, not any, but doesn't have those things. And you can override and turn off some of these other things, because I think people feel like sometimes that they're nannied to death with these newer cars.
You're absolutely right. But again, you can turn off a lot of those systems. But, you know, bottom line, the Kia Soul has always been a great vehicle for somebody who has on a budget, but who needs some utility, who wants a vehicle that's fun to drive and has a great warranty and getting good fuel economy to 27 City, 33 Highway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's nice. It's like, it used to be that you'd buy an electric car or a diesel because you got really good fuel economy. Anymore, there's these little SUVs and crossover vehicles that are getting 30 miles to the gallon, which is phenomenal. Matter of fact, even trucks, full-size trucks are getting 30 miles to the gallon, like the Dodge EcoBoost. Amazing. So, yeah. All right, BJ Colleen, thank you. My, what is it again? Voice of reason for this show. BJ Colleen, thanks.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, we'll take a little break and more with The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, and they've got the Power Dollars sales event going on right now. Hurry into your Dodge dealer. They not only bring you performance and technology and great deals, it's the big, the big Dodge finish event, and you can get incredible deals with Power Dollars. You'll get $10 off for each horsepower of your new car, and like, for example, you've already heard it, the Dodge Charger, $10 off. And if you get a Hellcat, do the math. It's big. Thanks to Dodge for sponsoring the show. Josh Hancock joining us, the Hollywood car insider. He is the man that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. And, you know, the holiday season is a big season for going to the movies and entertainment of all kind. Watching. What movie should we watch this season? Somebody sent me that famous Alec Baldwin skit from Saturday Night Live, Shweddy Blank. You can fill in the you can fill in that part.
Well, it's not a bad word, Alan.
No, but I'm not going to even put them together for the sake of dignity. I can't. Anyway.
All right.
But somebody else made a joke, by the way, Josh, about Saturday Night Live. They say, I'm old enough to remember when Saturday Night Live was funny, and then it showed, of course, all the original characters that, you know, us baby boomers remember. But entertainment's big this time of year. I think this is probably, and you're the guy to know, is this the biggest season of the year for entertainment, for movies and television?
It's not the biggest, but it is, you know, it's extremely important. When we talk about big movies, we talk about tentpole movies.
Yeah.
And there are just so many dates during the year, July 4th, Memorial Day weekend, Valentine's, and they all carry a specific weight, you
know?
Gotcha. So the Christmas season does have its own weight, and I think it'll be a great season. There's a lot coming.
Yeah. Well, because you're the Hollywood car guy, you get, you're privy to information about upcoming movies and things because you're working with them with the vehicles that, of course, when you and I used to be over at the Peterson Automotive Museum doing the show when we were face to face and we could actually slap each other's face, which was it was a good time.
Yes. Very good.
The Ghostbusters, what was that thing? I guess it was an old Cadillac with the, what was that machine?
It was a 50, originally, the first movie, it was a 59 Cadillac.
And it was a ambulance.
That is correct.
Yeah, I guess they didn't use big van, box vans in those days.
and you know, it was very surprising because when they did the remake with an all-female cast, they used like an 80 Cadillac that had no real definition to it. I never quite figured that out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I didn't go see it. I heard it wasn't so good. But
The fact is that the trailer for the new Ghostbusters just landed. I've been in touch with that movie. They've been working on it. They shot it in Canada. They went back to the 59 Cadillac.
Ah, good. Well, you know what? It's iconic.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wanted them to go, when they first asked me about it, I said, well, you should do something radically different, like make a Tesla S into an ambulance.
Oh,
you know? They didn't want to, they didn't want to spend the money.
Oh gosh.
It would have been fun, or take a new Lincoln Continental, you know, go with a competitor, or, you know, do something that people would go, oh, my goodness. And, of course, product placement would have lined up for that, which would have been fun. I mean, if Mercedes or BMW said, yes, we'll do it, can you imagine
right.
a big 7 Series with that grill? Come on, it would be great fun.
You know what's funny? A trivia question, and you may not even know the answer to this. Was that, what did you say, it was a 59 Cadillac and Ghostbusters, the ambulance? Was that ever a real ambulance? I mean, is that a trivia question, or am I like stupid? Of course it was, you idiot. I mean, go ahead.
Well, first off, I'd just like to say you are stupid because you gave me that opportunity.
Okay, touche. You got it. You got it.
Am I just stupid, Josh? Yes. I've told you that before. No, they had to have a few cars, and yes, one of them was an original ambulance. And during this one, they built four cars, and they did source out another real ambulance. The problem with this time, and I'll give a little inside information here, is they had to rig the car to be able to do some pretty incredible stunts. And so this car had to, you know, go into a cornfield and go 40 miles an hour mowing down corn, amongst other things. Okay. And then special effects on top of that asked for some things. So the car ended up weighing north of 8,000 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, think about it. Imagine being back in the day. I mean, there's plenty of people that are probably old enough to remember this Cadillac ambulance of that day. But imagine today if you saw a late model Cadillac ambulance. You'd go, oh, it must be in Brentwood or Beverly Hills or, you know, wherever, Upper East Side, you know. How bizarre.
I'm so fascinated when I see a brand new hearse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only time.
They're still making them.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, obviously when somebody passes and you go to the cemetery and you're following the procession of cars and that needs to be a fancy car. But the meat wagon I rode in here is the exact same thing because I had my gallbladder out on Halloween, everybody, and I was in a meat wagon. It's the same meat wagon that comes to our ranch to slaughter the pigs. It's the same vehicle. So it's just not an attractive machine.
Well, I think that was just for you.
I don't know. It's funny because they actually came out and with the exact same thing with like a crane and lift me up by my ankles. And that's not it. All right, we'll take a little break.
They said we've got a pig that needs a gallbladder.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's a good place to stop. We'll take a little break. We're talking with Josh Hancock, Hollywood car consultant. We're talking about the new movie, Ghostbusters, that's he's got a little inside info on. Yeah, 59 Cadillac. Can you imagine riding to the hospital in a 59 Cadillac ambulance? That would be fun. Take a little break. It's The Drive. Kia doesn't have to be the oldest SUV maker around, because what they lack in the cautious restraint of age, they make up for with the gravel-pounding ambition of youth. Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento SX, part of the tough-and-ready lineup of SUVs from Kia, with fully active all-wheel drive, torque vectoring corner control, and forward collision warning. Kia, give it everything. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Forward collision warning is not a substitute for safe driving and may not detect all objects surrounding vehicle. Always drive safely and use caution.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Subaru. Make fine cars. Josh Hancock joining us. I'd like to reiterate what he said, that we've got a pig here that needs a gallbladder. You didn't say that on live radio, you know. I could have cut that out.
You set it all up and the crane.
I could have cut it out. I want you to know that, because it wasn't live. It was taped, because I had to tape this interview with Josh because he's so important. But I didn't. I left it in.
You can't just tee those up, you know.
All right, so we're talking about the Ghostbusters film.
Yeah, we're talking about some Hollywood stuff. Just to finish it off, we're going to be shooting the second Baby Driver. It won't start until the fall, but look, that was a very popular car movie, and it was kind of a big surprise.
I never saw it. This Christmas season.
You never saw it?
No, this Kwanzaa, or what is the other one? What's the one Kramer did that was with the aluminum pole? What did he call it? Festivus, right? This Festivus season, I'm going to get caught up. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to say, what movies should I watch? So I guess I got to watch Baby Driver. I'm not going to watch the Ghostbusters with all the gals because I've not heard good things about it. But I do want to have a list of good movies that have cars in them. Now, if you guys have not seen the Ford versus Ferrari movie yet, I have yet to speak to any living creature that didn't like that movie. How about you, Josh?
No, it's a very well-made movie.
Yep.
We talked about it. You know, and James Mangold, he's very good at making movies, and he took this and he made a story that was his own. It's based on a real story, and the facts are pretty right that they won in Le Mans. But, you know, some of the stuff is a real stretch, but the audience doesn't care.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
He created drama. He created a great story.
But here's the problem.
Audouy is the production designer, and he should get an Academy Award for the production design.
Yeah, here's the problem. People remember the history the movie told. And there is a big problem right there, because if for those that were around and around Carroll Shelby and around Shelby American and Ford Motor Company, they know that that mm-hmm. story is a story that was
slightly
told
different.
By... Yeah, by Hollywood, right?
So. I mean, actually, Ford has put out a couple of really interesting details about some of the making of the cars. I don't remember his name now, but they shared a story about how this engineer from Dearborn really saved the whole program with some fishing line.
Why?
And how he had, there was going to be an oil leak in the seal, and he solved it with fishing line. Otherwise, they never would have made it through the race. So it was a real collaboration with Ford Motor Company, and they sent people all over the world. And I think, you know, the fact that they had the guts, and no other company could have done it because they weren't family owned.
Right.
I think that would have been great if it had come out more in the film.
Well, I read.
But it really was Carroll Shelby versus Ford rather than Ford versus Ferrari, you know?
Right. I read a comment from one of the editors of Car and Driver that had posted something about the story. And one of the comments was that he was at the racetracks as a 10, 11, 12 year old boy. And got to know Ken. What's Ken's last name? I forget already.
Ken Miles.
Got to know him, and he made a comment about how just completely kind of disgusting his teeth were. And I feel like, you know, there's little things like that. And he said he wasn't a nice guy, and they made him out to be a pretty nice guy. And that, you know, they give him a very kind of attractive wife, and he's kind of an attractive guy. But in real life, he was really kind of a nasty old curmudgeon with kind of rotten teeth. And, you know, so, I mean, I think that would even made it better, personally. I don't know.
Yeah, we're always scared to do that in Hollywood. Everybody has to be good looking.
You can't
do anything else. You know, again, back to your point, this is a really good movie and everybody should see it.
Yeah.
And it's so accurate in terms of the automobiles and they created. And, you know, one of the guys who was there, Ken Miles crew chief, is a good friend of mine. His name is Charlie Agapu. And he's even represented in the movie with a young guy because he was 23 at the time. And Charlie's had a long career in Hollywood. He has an amazing shop that does Rolls-Royce, Bentley, and Aston Martin. He's one of the most respected guys in the world, but nobody really knows, but he was there.
And did he have a comment on it?
I got him hired on the film as a consultant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got him high. Did he have any comments about the movie?
Oh, he's got lots of comments about the movie, but, you know, he will agree that the guy really knows how to make a movie. He was very impressed with all the car work. He was on the set several times, very impressed with all the car work, very impressed with my friend's work in depicting the racetracks. And, you know, they didn't have, nobody could make this movie in Hollywood for about 15 years. It was floating around with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, because they needed $175 million to make it 10 years ago. He made it for $94 million.
Oh,
and that is to make a car movie that's racing and build all those cars, it's crazy cheap. So you have to hand it to the production designer that you have the feeling that the cars are, you know, you're in that race. It's really great.
Goodness gracious. And you don't really think that we believe this guy's name is really Mr. Agapoo, do you?
Look him up.
Okay, look him up. We'll take a break, come back with more Hollywood stuff from Josh Hancock, the Hollywood Car Consultant. We'll be right back.
This holiday season, Dodge's gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone gets the same price our employees get on the Dodge Durango. And with Durango's available 475 horsepower, Dodge is here to make every trip a memorable one. So hurry in to the Dodge Big Finish event today to take advantage of Employee Pricing Plus. Offer is available in the purchase or lease of a 2020 Dodge Durango or a new 2019 Dodge vehicle excluding Charger and Challenger. Customer responsible for $200 administration fee. Must take retail delivery by 1-2-20. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm talking to my good buddy, Josh Hancock. He's the Hollywood Car Consultant. He matches up the car with the character in all things film and television. He's done a pretty good job of it, right up until he talked about some guy named Charlie Agapoo, which I'm going to have to go look that guy up.
Wow. I love that you're questioning Charlie Agapoo.
It's a great name, right? Mr. Agapoo. Yes. Okay, so have you driven anything interesting lately, Josh? Because, you know, this is a test drive show.
I have been traveling a lot. I really haven't had any cars other than, again, and it wasn't a press car because they don't give them out. My friend bought a Tesla 3. And, you know, I'm not in love with the way the car looks. I am certainly not in love with the interior and the fact that everything works off those two knobs on the steering wheel. As a car guy, I have a lot of trouble with that.
Well, you know, I'll hear your butt. Go ahead. I've been listening to your butt for the last half an hour. Go ahead.
The car drives the weight distribution of that skateboard and the power. It drives like a 911. I mean, it's amazing.
That's what I've heard. But it makes it makes no noise that has cylinders pumping and thumping.
Makes no noise.
Yeah.
But this also, for me, makes a case for the Mustang Mach-E. Forget about the name, but I like the interior of that car. I like the usability. And I didn't drive it, but I was in the back of that car with a total of four people in the car. And we went through the cones. Like so fast. So I'm kind of excited because I would consider that because it's more interesting than the Tesla 3.
Yeah. You know, it's an odd car and it takes a certain buyer to buy one of these cars. I think they're overpriced, but it's because, you know, so many people thought it was going to be like, I don't know, what was it, the high 20s or low 30s when they first started?
It was going to be $35,000 car, and it's a $50,000 car before you sneeze.
I know. Right. So yeah. I think it was a little disappointing because so many young people, I'm going to say that, got their hopes up because that's who's looking at these cars and loving on them. Let me tell you about a car I drove recently, by the way.
Okay.
And I know I'm boring you because I hear you yawning already. I haven't even got started.
I'm on the edge of my seat, Alan.
They dropped off the other day in a snowstorm a 2019 Fiat 124 Spider, which is,
A-bars?
Yeah, it was an Abarth, however you want to say it. But $25,440. I got to drive it, I think, a total of about 10 or 15 miles because it was snowing. And here comes the convertible. Of course, now the weather's been beautiful before and after. But I had it for, you know, a week of bad weather and snow. But I got in the car. I thought, I got to drive it. There's a little break. And I drove it, and I thought to myself, you know, my wife has a little Fiat 500 Abarth. And which is the kind of the performance iteration of any of these. And they, you know, they're going to stop building the Fiat 500, at least for the U.S. And they've got electric ones. They've got the standard ones. They've got the Abarth, which is the performance ones. But we have had no problem with this car. It's our second one, and it's a little zippy get-around car. My wife says, you know, I love it because it's so zippy. And I was driving this car, and the first thing I noticed, I get in, and it was an automatic transmission. I was like, what's going on with the automatic? And
it's Are you kidding me?
No, but it had paddle shifters, and the car, if you push the button for sport mode, it got out of its way. I mean, to tell you, I was like, holy crap, this is pretty good. So I only got a couple of, you know, like 25 minutes in the car because of the weather was so bad. But I thought to myself, you know what? That's a heck of a lot of nice little car for $25,000, and I don't know, end of the year, maybe some specials going on. You never see specials
on
Tesla.
That's a really reasonable price. I bet it didn't sound like your 500 ABARF.
No, it did, because when you do the
ABARF
pack, yeah, it has a little burble. It has a great little noise to it, a little sound, which is important, I think. I think that's part of the package is they put their own kind of fancy little exhaust. But check them out online. I mean, you look at them. They don't look like the Mazda Miata that they're akin to. But it's really a cute little car, and I was actually quite impressed for the very short test drive I got. Anyway,
well, you know, and let's face it, we just don't have many little sports cars anymore like we used to.
I know.
So I love that it's on the market. I have a friend who has a Ferrari that he actually drives quite regularly, but his other car is a 500 ABARF.
Yeah. They're a fun little car to drive. I'm kind of sad that they're going to stop building them, but oh well, c'est la vie. Something else will take their place. Josh, how can people find you besides joshcar.com? I know you got the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that. Best place to send them?
Instagram is Josh Carr Inc.
There you go. If you're into movies and the Hollywood entertainment world and you love cars, our Hollywood car consultant, Josh Hancock. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Alan.
We'll be back after this news break for another hour. If you're a podcaster, download another hour. We'll be right back. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
What is that? What noise is that? Listen quietly. Moody, 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 Moody. It's Brian Moody, everybody!
They're not booing. They're chanting Moody, Moody.
Brian Moody, executive editor of autotrader.com. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. No complaints from me.
Good, 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 good. Well, I see here on my list of talking points, five best new car tech for 2020 will be published just in time for this. So,
yeah, exactly right.
Give it to us, baby.
What do you think? Are you a fan of tech in the cars, or would you rather just have it be just drive the car and that's good enough?
Well, there's digital and there's analog, and I've always told people I'm an analog kind of guy. But I appreciate the digital world, but I still lean analog.
Well, tell me what you think of some of these. I think some of these are cool, and some are maybe a little unnecessary, but, you know, let's just go through it.
Okay.
The first one is, which one I think is cool, is wireless Apple CarPlay.
Love it.
So Apple CarPlay is that interface between your iPhone and the car's touchscreen. It shows your icons. You can put Spotify. You can put Waze. You can do this stuff. That's cool, right?
I love it.
We used to plug it into a connector.
Right.
Coming, and some cars already have this, wireless. You just place it in the charging tray, and via Bluetooth it connects without any other action on your part. We don't have it quite yet for Android Auto, except some aftermarket head units from JVC, Kenwood, and Pioneer do have wireless Android Auto, but I would expect that since that's the case, new car makers will be offering it in the near future.
Well,
so that's a cool one, right?
That is a fantastic. Yeah, I love that one, and I'm a love it or hate it guy, so I'll give them to you. I'm driving the new Silverado that has, by the way, you talked about something which was tech, and you blew right by it, the charging tray. I love that too.
Yeah.
It's a wireless.
Great idea.
Yeah, you put your phone in this little slot that's designed. It's shaped kind of like a phone, and it even has a little thing that says, "Don't put food here. Don't put your phone here," and it's charging.
Don't put a chocolate bar there.
Right, it might melt. But I love that. So anyway, yes. What's next?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So those are two that are cool. I'd be with you three. Here's one that I'm not sure about the need for this. Backseat reminders. The horn honks and the lights flash. If you say you open up your back door, you're on a sedan or a crew cab pickup, and you put a bag of ice in the back, or you put something in the back seat, close the door, drive off, and then when you get out, you don't go back and get it right away. Well, it's supposed to be a pet or a child reminder,
right?
But do we need that?
Well,
do you need to be reminded that there's a kid back there? I know that there's been accidents, but I don't know about this one. Anyway, it's a thing that you can get on more and more cars coming in 2020.
Okay, so I'm driving a 2020 Silverado again. I got out of the car. Actually, before I got out of the car, it went bing, and it said backseat reminder. And I had put a big case in there with a bunch of cameras and gear. And do you know, I thanked the car because I forgot that I did. That's why people break a window and steal your junk, because you forget you put it in plain view. So I was very thankful today, about an hour and a half ago, that this Chevy Silverado crew cab had it. So I'm going to say love it. Yeah.
All right. Kay. Love it on that one.
Yep.
Here's one more that you'll probably love. And that's coming, this big wave in 2020, maybe even starting now. Electric performance cars. So we've known about electric cars for a long time, but what they've been primarily is a budget proposition. Small cars like the Nissan Leaf and that kind of thing. But now there's a coming crop of high performance, all electric cars from Jaguar, Porsche, Audi, and Mercedes-Benz, not to be outdone by the Mustang Mach-E. So I think you're going to say, hey, anytime I get extra performance out of the car, I'm all for it. As soon as people get a look at this and a feel for how a high-performance EV feels, I think everybody's going to be in, but they got to try it first.
You know, let me think on this through the commercial break, how to respond properly, because at the top of the show, I said to everybody, I am not an electric car guy. I love internal combustion. I love the smell of gasoline. I love the rumble it makes. I'll answer your question on the other side. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. And I'm very thankful for that. I happen to be a big fan of that 797 horsepower monster. Of course, they don't make the Demon anymore. I had one, but you can still buy a Dodge Hellcat Red Eye. 797 horsepower. And right now with the Dodge Power Dollars, you can get $10 off for every horsepower. That's $7,970. What a deal. We're talking to Brian Moody. He asked me a question. I'm going to let you ask it again, and I'll give you an answer. I've given some thought to this.
Electric performance cars, yay or nay? And when I say that, I don't just mean a longer range version of, you know, an economy car. I'm talking about a high performance, for example, Porsche Taycan, 750 horsepower, all electric car. What do you say?
I say that the jury is out on this one, because everything up until this point has been about range anxiety and electric this, that, and the other, and where do I charge the dang thing? And it was a eco question. All of a sudden, Brian has made it a performance question. So I say, until I drive one, Brian. And have you driven one yet?
I have, and let me tell you something that might help sway you. The top performance cars in terms of quickness, speed, and agility at this point in Porsche's lineup are hybrids or EVs.
That's why I say I'm going to have to experience this, because in my life, as I'm getting old now, I'm realizing that it is very important that we experience these cars, hence the test drive, right?
Yes.
You can't just look at a car.
Have I stumped the master?
Well, you have. You've stumped the monkey in this case.
There's a prize for this.
I'll send it to you. But here's the thing. I honestly feel like, and after looking at the take hand, they call it, the Porsche, I looked at it and I was like, man, that is a good-looking car. And like
beautiful.
I said, the LA Auto Show this year was a lot of performance machines. So I'm going to have to experience that. So you and I will have this conversation again after we send this to Porsche.
Yeah.
And they say, all right, Alan, you can drive it.
On the other side of that, let me point something else out. Whenever we hear these dire predictions of gasoline-powered engines, I believe that that's all false. And I'll tell you one reason why, one of many, many reasons why, is Nissan's new VC turbo engine. That's variable combustion. So the combustion itself can vary depending on your input on the throttle and the other conditions, meaning that you can have a car that will give you high performance like acceleration, but also give you around 40 miles per gallon. When people were predicting the gas would run out by 2010, that the world would come to an end by 2009, they couldn't have predicted the advancements in technology for gasoline-powered cars, not to even mention series hybrids and gas engines that will power some of these onboard electric cars. So I think there's a world for both. I'm more with you, where I like to hear and feel the, you know, the engine, the gasoline-powered engine. But boy, I'll tell you, 750 horsepower has a way of waking you up.
Yeah, that's why it's still it's a question. And you know what? Like I said, I'm an analog guy, but I'm not a dog that's too old to teach new tricks. Because at some point, I may go, wow, that was amazing. And so I'm waiting for that aha moment, that paradigm shift of thinking. But it hasn't hit me yet, because everything up to this point has been very numb, very golf cart-esque.
Well, you know what I think is funny about that? Is that when you drive the Audi e-tron, they actually pipe in this revving type of sound that sort of mimics a gasoline-powered engine, but it sounds a little bit like an electric motor, too. So the more you press on it, the higher it goes, like a car. You know how when you're in a regular car, the engine revs as you go? Well, that doesn't happen necessarily the same way in an electric car, although the motor is spooling up. But they pipe in this sound to give people, I think, like you and me, the exciting feeling of, oh, I'm going fast now, I can hear it.
Remember the movie with Woody Allen? What was that movie called when he was the world, the future world, where they had the orgasmatron? I can't think of it. It's like Looper or something like that. I can't think of what it was called.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, you know, to be able to step into a machine and have a synthetic, whatever it might be, it would just be weird that real life is better. And I don't know. I feel like that we're kind of leaning into this synthetic world where they have to give us the sound that we desire to achieve the joy that we really want from the machine that we're controlling.
But wasn't Mustang already doing it with the gasoline-powered engine anyway?
Well, that's a big question.
So
again,
it's manipulated in a way. It's just not manipulated as much. So then you have to say, where's my line?
Yeah, well, at least I know I got engines thumping and pumping underneath my foot. We'll take a little break and more with Brian Moody. I got to find out the name of that movie. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
This holiday season, Dodge's gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone gets the same price our employees get on the Dodge Durango. And with Durango's available 475 horsepower, Dodge is here to make every trip a memorable one. So hurry in to the Dodge Big Finish event today to take advantage of Employee Pricing Plus. Offers available in the purchase or lease of a 2020 Dodge Durango or a new 2019 Dodge vehicle excluding Charger and Challenger. Customer responsible for $200 administration fee. Must agree to delivery by 1-2-20. See dealer details.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, we had to look it up. The movie we were talking about is Sleeper, 1973 with Woody Allen.
Where Twinkies are good for you.
Where Twinkies, and they had a machine called the Orgasmatron, which is what, to me, some of these electric performance cars are like. And I just don't know what to say, Brian. But thank you. By the way, where can these five best new car tech things for 2020 be found?
Actually, you can look for those on autotrader.com. Okay. And there's more. Actually, we did a longer list, but those are the five that I like the best. And feel free to leave your comments and say which ones you do or don't like.
Okay, cool. How about 10 cool things about the Ford Mustang Mach-E, the newest?
Oh, no, it's a theme.
Oh,
it's a theme. We didn't even mean to. And now, Alan, look what's happened.
All right, only give me five.
You've attracted. We'll only do three.
Exactly.
So, yeah, here's the cool things about the Mustang Mach-E. Like it or not, I think there's good news and bad news in the Mach-E. I haven't talked to you about it before. I think the good thing is that it's a performance electric car, like we talked about. I think the bad thing is the reason it's named a Mustang is that Ford really only has two or three models that really have any equity with American buyers. Mustang's one of them. So yeah. I don't think that that's a great position to be in, but they wanted to do their best. They're behind. Most companies are with the Tesla Model S. So here are cool things. The first thing is it's going to be their global electric vehicle architecture, which means more cars like this will come.
Gotcha.
That's kind of cool. Another thing is I like the price. $45,000 electric car, the size and range of that car actually is pretty good. I can't fault them on that.
Right.
And then also this is going to be the most performance-oriented model in the Mustang lineup. So there's going to be a GT and... you know, what can you do? The electric car still won't outperform the 459 horsepower GT, or will it? There will be a GT Performance Edition that will go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds for the Mach-E. So maybe that the Mustang most performance-oriented car is the electric one.
Yeah,
and I'll finish with this one.
Okay.
It comes standard with a gigantic touchscreen, which I'm a big fan of. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Whether you like the Mustang Mach-E or not, there's a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, but you said performance. What about the GT500? Or are they considering that kind of an aftermarket thing because it's a Shelby?
So here's the question with that. Is that a Ford Mustang or is that a Ford Shelby GT500?
Yeah, right.
So you have to do is, like, they do this, and this isn't the first time that they've done trickery. Automakers are like, well, that's not really an Accord. That's a different, you know what I mean? Like, it goes by what the model name is.
Right. Here's a question, though. I've already heard that Shelby is working on a deal to make a Mach-E Shelby performance version, which they can do very easily. You just kind of turn up the power on these things, you know.
Right. My question is, what's going to happen to the batteries when people drive it the way that they're used to being able to drive a gasoline-powered performance car? Will they be able to hold up over a long period of time?
Oh, good question. So it's not about the range. So, it's about the durability of the battery.
The durability.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I have a Honda Civic Type R or a Honda Civic Si, right, and I take it to the track on the weekend, every other weekend, or I am one of those guys that just really squeezes all the performance, I know that car is going to last. Right? There's no question in my mind about that. Is the same true with a battery-powered performance car where you're really, for lack of a better word, abusing it? I don't know. I mean, that remains to be seen.
Mm. Well, again, a lot of things with that vehicle remain to be seen, because I'm understanding that the price of these things, yes, starts out pretty low, but if you want anything, you're at 60 grand, just like every other car these days. And imagine with a...
Right, and that's okay. Yeah. Here's why I think that's okay, because all the other ones start at 60.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but if you also, again, you'd probably be able to hit 80 if you go with the Shelby version when that finally happens. All right.
Oh, totally.
I got 2 minutes give me good lease deals in December. I understand there's some good ones out there. What do you got?
Yeah, so if you're into leasing and you think that that's a good deal, I kind of do think that it is a good deal for the right person, not for everyone. The problem is that a lot of them require about $3,000 up front. But here's a couple. I mean, this is a list on our website on autotrader.com. Here's a couple that I think are worth mentioning. 2019 Subaru Impreza, $229 a month with zero due at signing. That's a good deal.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, the new 2019 Toyota RAV4 can be had for as little as $199 per month, and that does require $2,000. Or you can take a $257 a month payment for zero due at the initial inception. I think the zero down is the way to go, because here's why. When you drop money on those leased cars for that down payment or that capitalized cost reduction, you're not going to get that back. It's over.
Right.
You might as well just pay the zero down and then pay the monthly for the use of the car. I think that's a better use of a lease type of situation.
I tend to agree, because, like you said, you don't get that money back. All right.
Right.
All available.
So, I mean...
Go ahead.
There's a Cadillac, for example, a 2020 Cadillac XT6 available for $489 per month. But that requires $3,500 down.
Ooh, yeah. See, that's...
So, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
To me, it is. I don't know everybody else.
Well, all these deals can be found at autotrader.com, including the 10 cool things about the new Ford Mustang Mach-E. We only covered two or three of them. 5 best new car tech things for 2020.
Yeah.
Autotrader.com. Brian Moody, thank you, sir.
Yep, thank you.
He's always fun to talk to. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Humor me and tell me lies. Yeah, humor me and tell me lies. And all opportunity, I don't mind. As we see...
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track, as well as drivers like you and me on the street, for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And real car guy. I mean, because the other stuff is really a bunch of hooky, haka, pocket pookie. Who cares about all that? As long as I'm a real car guy, then that's where people end up trusting what we have to say here. Our show is brought to you in part by the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. And, George Kennedy III joining us right now. Co-founder, freelance automotive journalist, co-founder of Cartender. He works with Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. And he says to me, I like to get one line. What do you want to talk about? This is what it says. Which luxury SUVs can actually get dirty? ? And I you know, well, that is true, because you think about it. Some of them, a good example is, and I'll start right here with Range Rover. You know, it's funny when you think of a Range Rover, it's totally a luxury SUV. You could spend $200,000 on one, because they have some that are Learjets. But those things can also go in 3.5 feet of water without a drop of water getting inside the vehicle. We're talking all the way up past your waist. And if you hold that line to a car, that's to the door handles. Can you imagine driving any automobile up to the door handles in water? And when you go on these events as journalists, they teach us about how much hard work they put into these vehicles to make sure that if you do find yourself in the Amazon jungle and you have to forge a, 3.5-4 foot deep river or whatever it is to get to the other side, you're not even going to get a drop of water in that car because of the amazing amount of work they do to make them watertight. Am I right, George?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the small SUV and crossover have become like super popular right now, especially in the luxury segment. And, you know, they're crazy compliant. They're efficient. They're, you know, they drive well on the highway. But in order to do that, you kind of have to give up something. And the dirty little secret with most modern crossovers is that they're not very capable. I wouldn't want to take, you know, a Mercedes-Benz GLA anywhere off the beaten path, which begs the question, which vehicles still do have that, you know, they're luxury SUVs, but they can still go, like you said, water up to the door handle. And as you mentioned, Land Rover is one of those brands that sticks to it. You know, Toyota and Lexus, the Land Cruiser, the Lexus LX 570, others like that. There is a small segment of vehicles that can still get dirty, but are also supremely comfortable vehicles.
Well, a good you talked about Mercedes-Benz, so a good comparison would be, you know, the GLA is a car-based crossover type vehicle, right? Versus the G-Wagon. You know, now the G-Wagon, yeah. I went off-road with this thing, and it was like, what the living heck are we doing with this Mercedes-Benz? Well, look, the G-Wagon, I think, has got military in its roots, and you can't kill the thing, you know?
Right. And, you know, we use the term, you know, euphemistically, military grade. This thing is literally military grade. It has its roots in military vehicles. And so, you know, you think, when am I going to use any capability like this? And then you think about, you know, different horse events, 4-H stuff, polo matches, going to like a remote ski chalet, driving out onto the beach. These are all things that you might do. Maybe if you're on Cape Cod or, you know, the Outer Banks or up in Aspen, and you want a vehicle that's actually going to deliver and you're not going to get stuck. And so there actually is a compelling legitimate case to make for the off-road capability in a lot of these vehicles.
Right. Well, but you started out too, as you know, it says which luxury SUVs can actually get dirty, which means, I know what you mean, get off-road and be capable off-road. The Jeep brand calls things trail rated when it's able to climb the side of a mountain like a billy goat, and most of them are. And good, but if you get up into the, you know, the luxury side of things, you have the Grand Wagoneer, or is that what they call it? The Grand Cherokee, right?
You still have the Grand Cherokee, yeah. Right, the Overland trim of the Grand Cherokee really does. That's the neat thing about the Grand Cherokee, is that it spans from like an affordable SUV up into luxury based on trim. Laredo is your entry level, and then Overland is your over the top chrome and leather. You know, really an American Range Rover in a lot of ways.
Right. And isn't that funny? I said Wagoneer. I wonder if they're ever going to bring that back. which I understand. Yeah. I've heard a little bit of rumblings about that. But it's still very capable, even though they're able to add luxury to it. Very capable. And then you made a good point, the GLA, which is a car-based thing. Now, a lot of vehicles today are all-wheel drive. I have an R-Class Mercedes-Benz, all-wheel drive. It's a glorified station wagon, and it's got all-wheel drive. Now, I get it. If I want to go skiing, as long as I stay on the plowed roads, I'm fine. I wouldn't want to go. This thing, you know, it's very low profile. It sits low. It's got all-wheel drive for slip, and that's really it. Paved roads that have been plowed, because you're not going to get off-road with this thing at all. So you got to really know what you want to do with the vehicle that you're potentially going to buy. Just because you go, oh, it's all-wheel drive, I'm going off-road, you can total your car going off-road if you're in like my R-Class Mercedes station wagon from 2011. It ain't going anywhere off-road. Matter of fact, funny story, I bought it because this is a true story. I'm looking in the Craigslist. Actually, somebody, you know, we like to buy and sell, have fun with boats and cars and motorcycles, me and my kids. One of my kids says, hey, look, at somebody sent me this R-Class with a BlueTEC. I happen to be a diesel fanatic. I'm very analog.
Yeah, that's the diesel, yeah.
Right? So I go, you know, what's wrong with it? They said, you know, the front bumper was kind of like duct taped on. And I go, what the heck? And I said, I'm going to go look at this thing. So I went and looked at it, and we were talking about going off-road. Somebody had driven over the tire stop to where you know, hit this bumper with your tires so that you don't go too far when you're parking, right? And when they backed off of it, they backed away from it. They literally almost pulled off the entire front bumper.
Ripped it right off.
Right, and so this is an all-wheel drive vehicle, people. You cannot, just because it's all-wheel drive, go off-road. You have to consider all the things that it takes to be able to go off-road. The clearance of, you know, how high off the ground it is, all that kind of garbage. Because these people almost totaled their car with a bump stop at the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
To your point.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's power delivery is only one factor of it. Tires are a big thing. And then ground clearance. And what's cool about everything from the Grand Cherokee with optional equipment to a Land Rover Discovery or a Range Rover, a lot of them have the adjustable height suspension. And that's really cool because it's part of the can-do-everything package. So on the highway, the suspension lowers, the car gets more aerodynamic, so more efficient for better fuel economy. And it also means it can corner better on the highway. You're not kind of teetering around. Then when you want to slow down, you press the button, the suspension raises, and you can get over things. And so it really is this, you know, this cool kind of silver bullet that allows you to do multiple things.
Right on. All right, well, when you're going to buy your next vehicle, if you plan on going off-road, ground clearance is a very, very important factor. Unless, of course, you just need all-wheel drive to get around the snowy streets of Boston like George Kennedy III. And we'll come back and talk more with George. He's got a test drive review of the Lexus GX 460. We'll be right back. It is The Drive. Last week for to go and she wasn't home, but anyway, I think I'll spend my life alone. I really don't. Kia doesn't have to be the oldest SUV maker around, because what they lack in the cautious restraint of age, they make up for with the gravel-pounding ambition of youth. Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento SX, part of the tough-and-ready lineup of SUVs from Kia, with fully active all-wheel drive, torque vectoring corner control, and forward collision warning. Kia, give it everything. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Forward collision warning is not a substitute for safe driving and may not detect all objects surrounding vehicle. Always drive safely and use caution.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Kia. And they have a rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs for you. Kia, give it everything. And we're talking about luxury SUVs. And actually, we're trying to find a Telluride, which is a absolutely beautiful luxury SUV. And that's what my wife wants. And man, she is stuck on that. I've offered her every vehicle in the world. That's what she wants. I'm like, okay. And it's funny because it has whatever that something that makes people happy. She's not trapped in the mindset of I've got to have a, air quotes, Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus or a, you know, what people perceive to be these luxury SUVs. She doesn't care what it's called. She just knows it when she sees it. And I actually love that about my wife, because she's not stuck on, dare I say, I don't know. It's just, you know, me, if you say a name of a car, I tell you what kind of person is associated with it. You know what I mean? Because I'm a judgmental pig. And that's just, people know that about me. George, are you still there?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I need a little help here, brother.
Yeah. I mean, admit it too. You like that Telluride as well. You're just trying to make it work.
No, I do. Motor Trend, SUV of the year. Car and Driver 10 Best, on and on and on and on. It's just want everything. But you don't think, you know, it's like not in the mindset to think Kia, luxury. But in my wife's mind, the vehicle represents everything she wants. It's got luxury. It's got good looks, capability. Anyway, so you have been driving the Lexus GX 460. For those of us who just don't know every moniker of every vehicle, what is the GX 460?
It's one of the Lexus SUVs. It's, you know, the LX is your top-end luxury SUV from Lexus, and the GX is slotted below it, and it's above the RX. So it's basically, the RX is your, as you mentioned, kind of a road-going SUV,
the GX really is, we were talking about off-road capable SUVs, it's one of the few out there, and it's one of only two in the Lexus lineup that I would trust going out on the dirt with. And to be honest, it's a Lexus 4Runner is what it really is.
Ah, okay, so that, because here's the thing. I mean, Lexus is the luxury division of Toyota. So there you go. Right. That's what I needed. One is a Land Cruiser. What is that one called?
This is basically the Lexus 4Runner.
Right.
You know?
Which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, the LX class is the Land Cruiser. Yeah.
LX. So you have RX, GX, and LX. So you have Land Cruiser, which is the big one. You have 4Runner, mm-hmm. which is the medium-sized one. And maybe Highlander for the RX?
I don't even know if there's a... Yeah, I guess RX and Highlander would go together.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lexus has tried to do a lot to differentiate
right.
the two different brands.
But at
the end of the day, they should lean into it because it helps us and helps buyers figure out what they want to get.
Right, because, you know, at a certain point in your life, and I said this earlier in the show, it is time for you to go out and buy what the hell you want. You know what I'm saying? And if it's luxury, you don't care, like my wife, what name is on it, what emblem is on the hood. You care to see what you want to see. Every time you get in that car, she wants this gray, dove gray leather interior that's the Napa leather, whatever it is they use. And it speaks to her, right? And
yeah,
so
man.
For us, we're so name-oriented, you know? It's like, oh, which brand and what'd you buy? Well, you know, it's funny. And things are changing quickly in that arena. Don't you agree? I mean, look at the Telluride has done to the marketplace. It's really mixed it up.
I think, one of the things I really like to do is try and dispel kind of tired assumptions about brands. So when we talk about Kia, you know, if I'm back home talking to people like, oh, Kia, this, Kia, that, I'm like, have you not been out in a while? Because Kias are really freaking good cars.
Yeah.
And it's the whole economy thing. The economy car thing is way in the past. I mean, they make some of the best cars on the road.
Yeah.
And I try and tell people that when they're shopping for a car.
Well, and this happened to me. I bought, I bought a Toyota Supra, and everybody goes, oh, no, you bought a BMW Z4. And I'm like, okay, Mr. Brand conscious. I only know that I bought a car that is absolutely awesome. You call it whatever you want. That's my black car over there. Check it out. It's like some people have to say, what are you driving? Oh, I'm driving that Supra or that BMW or that Mercedes. Now I just, with this car, I point over and I go, that black one. And they're like,
let them figure it out.
Yeah, what is it? And I go, let's go look at it. You tell me what you think. And I got to tell you, it's so funny. If you say Toyota Supra, they go, oh, you bought a Japanese car. And then they find out, oh, it's made in, where's Austria? No, it's BMW underneath. It's really funny to watch the reaction to it. Let me take another break, and we'll come back and talk more on the other side about, you haven't even started test driving this Lexus GX 460, which is akin to the Toyota 4Runner sister vehicle. What does George Kennedy III think about it? From car tenders, he works with car gurus, Boston Globe, and New U.S. News and World Report. His opinion matters. His matter opinions. We'll take a break. It's The Drive.
This holiday season, Dodge's gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone gets the same price our employees get on the Dodge Durango. And with Durango's available 475 horsepower, Dodge is here to make every trip a memorable one. So hurry in to the Dodge Big Finish event today to take advantage of Employee Pricing Plus. Offers available in the purchase or lease of a 2020 Dodge Durango or a new 2019 Dodge vehicle, excluding Charger and Challenger. Customer responsible for $200 administration fee. Must take retail delivery by 1-2-20. See dealer for details.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So if you want to find my buddy George Kennedy III, you can find him in a lot of places. He works with Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. He writes for all these guys, and he's got videos out the yin-yang. Don't ask me what a yin-yang is, but they're coming out of his yin-yang. I don't know. I hate to say that I don't know what that is, George, but anyway, we're talking about Alexis. That could just be bad. Anyway, Lexus GX460, how did your yin-yang fit in there?
So, like I said, it's the Lexus 4Runner, and it kind of fits that way. You know, these really kind of capable midsize SUVs are a little tight. It wasn't too bad. It has three rows of seats, which
is
nice.
Wait a minute. Does the Toyota 4Runner have three rows of seats? That's how long it's been since I've driven a 4Runner. I don't even know.
Yeah, it doesn't anymore. It does not anymore. It used to up until, I think, a couple of years ago, maybe even last year, they offered an optional third row.
Oh.
But now it's just two rows of seats in the 4Runner. The GX still has three rows.
Wow.
It's definitely dated inside the GX. It's got like early 2010s Lexus infotainment, so it doesn't have that remote touch system with the little controller.
Right.
It's just got a straight up touchscreen, and frankly, I think it's better off for it. It's sort of like what's old is new again.
Yeah.
It's just easy to use, right?
It's a good looking
no
vehicle.
Controller.
I just Googled it while we're talking. It's a really nice look. And I got to tell you, Lexus has done a great job in the last, say, 4 or 5 years of really, you know, love it or hate it, this big grill thing that they're putting in these new Lexus. I mean, it's like, but it's got its own mojo. Can I say that? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you said yin yang. So,
yeah, right.
No, for the GX, you know, I typically don't love that big hourglass grill on a lot of the Lexus models, but on the GX, I actually don't mind it. I don't know what's going on with it, but I like it. And they've made it even more aggressive for 2020. They've done a couple styling updates, they've changed the headlights a little bit. The other thing that the GX gets for 2020 is the Lexus Safety System Plus. So the forward collision avoidance, lane departure warning, adaptive cruise control, automatic high beams, that full suite of safety features all come standard now. And I don't even know if they offered that on the previous models. So it's really cool to see Lexus and Toyota committing to that level of safety as standard equipment across, at this point, almost all of its vehicles.
You know, I have what I call the coffee test. You can imagine what I'm talking about. No matter what vehicle I get in, I get in my vehicle, I take my, I actually buy the white to-go cups at Costco because I like to feel like, you know, I've just saved some money because I didn't pay $5 for a cup of coffee because I make it at home and the cup costs as much as the coffee inside it does, but it's okay. But I leave my house and I go about, I don't know, maybe 1,000 yards and there's these whoop-de-doos in the road for, you know, bad road work, whatever you want to call it. And I literally have to use my arm like a gimbal with most of these vehicles these days. Otherwise, I am wearing my coffee, right? So the luxury, you said we were talking about luxury SUVs. The luxury part of this means that it should go through these whoop-de-doos without making me use my arm as a gimbal where I can actually take a sip of my coffee while driving over most any roads. And these aren't terrible whoop-de-doos because some cars I don't even, like if I'm in my old Jag, my 2002 Jaguar XJ, nothing. Nothing at all. I don't feel anything. But if I'm in something with it's sprung too tight because it's an off-road, a vehicle that can go off-road, off-road vehicle.
Right.
Believe me, man, I got to be so careful going over that. And so now it's like, all right, what am I driving? Okay, gimbal arm, get ready. You know what I mean? So how would it do with my coffee test?
This is an area where the GX actually excels, and it's worth bringing up for the conversation about off-road luxury vehicles. Now, there's really two different types of off-road suspensions. There's the straight-up, you know, off-road shocks, like you would see Rancho or Fox shocks on a Jeep or on a Silverado. And then there's the adaptive suspension systems, and that's what you're going to find across the luxury segment. This has the Kinetic Dynamic Suspension System, KDSS. It also has adaptive variable suspension, auto-leveling rear suspension. Ooh. And I would say probably the area in which this vehicle is the most advanced is its suspension system.
All right.
I was so impressed by how this car would just go right over bumps in the road.
Well, you passed the test.
And nothing.
The coffee test. That's important when you're talking luxury. The full review of the Lexus GX 460 can be found where, George?
Yeah, we're going to have that up on Car Gurus pretty soon. So stay tuned. Check out the Car Gurus YouTube channel and cargurus.com.
Well, if you want to see his yin yang in action in the Lexus GX 460, check out cargurus.com. George Kennedy, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Take care of that yin yang in the cold weather out there. I'm Alan Taylor. That's it for me this week. I'm going to take my yin yang out and get some coffee. See you next time. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.